Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, along with co-host Art Malin, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Steve Yeago down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and then we've got another interesting interview with our local fisheries biologist, Max Walter, and then lastly, we're talking with Hayward Area Fishing Guide, Tim Duffy. Lots to cover on this week's show, all coming up right after these messages.
Save green during the Can-Am Yellow Tag Event at Hayward Power Sports. Depending on the model, claim up to $2,000 rebate or financing as low as 2.9%. Get a Can-Am Defender HG8 side-by-side with seating for three, selectable two- and four-wheel drive, a dump box, and a four-stroke V-twin 800cc engine for as little as $199 a month. Can-Am, the ride says it all. Test ride one today at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Certain restrictions apply. Subject to credit approval, see your dealer for details. Online at haywardpowersports.com.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop in for their great lunch menu, and you can enjoy your lunch right out on their deck. Lynn's also has fresh cut-to-order steaks, as well as a great selection of brats and sausages for those great summer cookouts. Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, jerky, cheese curds, and much, much more. Lynn's is open Mondays through Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and Sundays 10 to 3. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering in Hayward. We're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and we got a new guy working in here. We've got, Art?
Steve
Yeago.
Right? Yeago.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, we're getting into October here as we're airing this, and, you know, the fishing actually starting to pick up out there. Muskie fishing, there's a lot of people out muskie fishing, Art.
Well, that's true. There's probably more people muskie fishing right now. I suspect the sale of their suckers is going to be pretty good right now. But I think there are other fish that are doing very well, too. Northerns, for instance. God, in Couderay, they're just doing bang busters. You can go out and get a northern just like you used to.
Oh, yeah, you bet. You know, and then there's a walleye crappies. What have you been hearing here at the shop now? You've been here for a while.
At the shop, muskies have definitely picked up over the last week with the weather getting cooler and the water temperatures coming down. The baits, primarily, suckers is one of your best baits. Bucktails have been very, very good. Various stick baits that you're used to using, the Suic fishermen have done well. Of course, that's a different type of jig action, and you need the correct rod for that type of action for Suics. But fishing is better. The walleyes have been picking up. A lot of good reports on walleyes, using fatheads primarily, and jigging off the bottom and Lindy rigs. Those have been what individuals have been using. And on the lakes, it's been, of course, Round and Couderay. Also in the flowage has been very good.
You hearing anything on the panfish? I know the flowage are getting crappies.
Yes, flowage, they are getting crappies. They've been, crappies have been a little limited to various lakes, and flowage has been one of the best lakes for the crappie fishing. It's been slowing down here over the last 2 days. What I've heard from people who've been out fishing, they've been a little tougher, they're going deeper.
Yeah, deeper, and a lot of people just can't keep track of them, you got to use the electronics for that.
The other thing is, in the clear lakes, they just don't seem to gang up very much in the daytime. You cannot find a crappie very easily in Couderay, I'll tell you that right now. But in the evening, you can find them almost any place close to shore.
I'll tell you what, you get good with your hummingbird stuff and you can find them because they can't hide hardly.
Well, they got to be there to show.
They're there, and they show up on that screen pretty good with that new side imaging. That mega imaging is incredible.
And that's what we've heard also is your electronics is what you need for both the walleyes and the crappies, so you can see the fish where they're gathering. It's various lakes, because I live on Lost Land Lake and Antio, which is tough walleye fishing, but they're on the slopes. In Lost Land Lake, fishing about 15 foot to 18 foot of water, and then over on Teal, they're down around 18 foot.
Yeah, I've been getting them as deep as 20 and 25 feet, the crappies on Teal Lake. You find them on your locator. You know, the muskie fishing seems to be off a little bit on Teal and Lost Land for some reason this year.
It has been. The reason it's it's been tough is because the water level is up about a foot with all the rain that we have. So it's created a whole different type of environment for the muskies. And then the water temperature has been really warm, 67, 68 degrees until about the last 5 days, where it's finally starting to drop down to 62 degrees and starting to get some muskie catches. Myself, I caught two this last weekend fishing, and they were both on suex.
Love suex.
I do too.
It's a great bait if you work it right.
You bet. What you guys are geared up here for hunting too at the shop? You hearing anything on the hunting out there going on?
With the hunting, the deer have been a little tough. There's been one individual. He did get a 10 pointer, and that was with a crossbow. And
a lot of deer out there, it seems like, though.
I know every night I drive home, I got to drive real slow, because they are crossing the roads.
There's still a lot of leaves on our trees, and they can hide pretty easily. But that's also adversely affecting, I think, to some degree, the grouse hunting.
I had one of those deer, actually. I stopped, I knew it, and it still ran into the side of my car, dead stop, but luckily it didn't do any damage. Well, you guys are geared up for equipment, too, in the shop here. Anybody, whether it's hunting or fishing for the fall, they got pretty much anything anybody needs in here now.
Absolutely. What we have as far as equipment and baits, I mean, this shop is, I mean, being new, I've never been in a shop like this that's been privately held versus you going to, you know, your big box stores. But what we carry here is things you're not going to find on the sales floor in like a Cabela's, because we've got multiple colors. Those you have to order through a Cabela's. Here we have them on the sales floor, so you can buy it immediately and you don't have to order it.
Lots of stuff in here, and I want to thank you for coming on here and sharing information with us.
Well, thank you. Certainly appreciate it, and good luck fishing.
You bet. And Art, we're going to have to take a break right now and hear from some of our fine sponsors. And we come back, I've got another interview with our local fish biologist, Max Walter.
Hunters and anglers, Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop in the Hayward area. Stop in and check out the huge selection of fall muskie, bass, walleye, and panfish tackle. They also carry archery supplies, bows, crossbows, muzzle loaders, ammo, scents, tree stands, and much more. Gear up for the fall at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And while you're there, check out the bottle shop for a full selection of beer, wine, and liquor, too. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one-stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Store your boat where it'll be safe and secure at Hayward Power Sports. We're the area's largest marine and power sports storage facility. Call now to reserve your space and bring it in when you're done for the season. Your boat will be prepped by our certified techs who properly winterize today's high-tech motors. We offer shrink wrapping and indoor storage plus a 20% discount on any repairs done when you store your boat with us. State licensed and bonded, Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, call myself, John Myrie, at 715-462-9402 or Art Malin at 715-865-2336, or you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. Myself, John Myrie, and co-host Art Malin, and Desmond, she's up in Canada. She'll be back again, I think, next week, Art. But I had a chance, I did several interviews with our local biologist here, Max Walter. And one of the things that's going on, he's been doing quite a bit of research with this tagging, with these pit tags on these muskies.
Right, and about a week or about 2 weeks ago now, when this airs, we'll have tagged a bunch of fish again.
Yeah, you bet. So let's hear what kind of information he's getting back and what is that actually they provide by doing that tagging.
Max, I know when it comes to northern Wisconsin here, muskie fishing has always been a pretty big deal. Now we've got muskies in almost every state, it seems like. There's been a lot of resurgence in the sport of muskie fishing. It's growing tremendously. But doing a lot of research on them is one of the things that you've been doing and the DNR's been doing in with this tagging and recapture. What have you been finding up here that might be interesting to our listeners?
Yeah, that's been a big area of emphasis over the last few years. When you put those tags out, you just get all kinds of useful information about the fish, how they're growing, where they're moving. You can use it to figure out how many of them are out there in the lake, and those are all, you know, bits of information that I need to try and make sure that we're delivering the good musky fishing opportunities that people expect. The movement stuff is what always tends to be most interesting to anglers, because we've all got ideas about how these fish might move around, but it's tough to say for sure what they're doing until you start putting tags out there. And that's what we've been doing. We've put over 23,000 pit tags out in Sawyer County. A lot of those are being put into fingerlings when they're stocked. So we don't expect all those to survive, but we have enough of them surviving and enough adults tagged out there that we're generating a pretty big volume of recapture data every year. Most of them are pretty boring. It's like, you know, we tag a fish in Sisabagama Lake and we recaptured a couple of years and it's grown a few inches and pretty straightforward. But then, you know, you get some really odd ones too that kind of show what these fish are capable of. So we had one this summer. It was captured below the dam on the Chippewa flowage. And it was originally tagged in Moose Lake 10 years ago. So that fish went over the Moose Lake Dam, went down the West Fork of the Chippewa River, maybe spent some time in the Chippewa flowage, maybe just swam right through, we don't really know, went through another dam, and now it's hanging out in the river down there. So that's a pretty interesting one, right? And a decade in between times we've seen it.
You know, had it grown much?
It hadn't grown a lot. It was a male. You know, in Moose Lake, it was tagged about 35 inches, and I think it was recaptured somewhere in the mid to upper 30s again. So,
well, you know, that's interesting. And then too, I could remember going way back at somewhere in my office in my filing cabinet, I've got the report from probably the very first tagging study with telemetry with Mike Domick did on Moose Lake. And one of the things, if I remember correctly on that, was that they found fish that stayed in a small area. They measured it in, like, I believe hectares or something. They stayed in a very small area. But then there was another fish that would be just all over the place, moving a lot, you know, covering a lot of territory. Is that kind of what you're finding there too?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah. And the telemetry stuff's interesting because that's tracking individual fish. The pit tags, we have to actually go out and recapture them again. Yep. Yeah. But we see the same thing. Some of them are homebodies. We had one fish in Moose Lake, caught it in the same net, same time of year, 2 years in a row, so it obviously was locked into some kind of pattern. We've had anglers that have caught the same fish on the same day 2 years in a row, so they're obviously in some kind of pattern. And then you have ones that are just doing something completely wacky and unexpected, like that Moose Lake fish that bombed out of the lake and took off downstream.
You know, I've seen some strange things. I had one fish on Moose Lake years ago. Me and another guy caught it. We'd catch it every week through the course of the summer on the same bar in the same spot. We actually called him George because he had a diagonal stripe on his side. It was easily distinguished, you know, that it was the same fish. We'd catch it like clockwork every week.
Sure, yeah. Well, it's great to have those fish that are predictable there. We wish they were all that predictable. But, you know, what we found with these, having so many pit tags out there, and we're doing it in all kinds of lakes, is it really tells you how interconnected all of our water bodies are. A good example would be Teal and Lost Land. We, you know, expect fish go back and forth, but with the pit tags, we can actually put a number on it. About 10% of the fish from one lake go to the other lake in a given year, and vice versa. So they're always kind of swapping fish between the two. The other place we've seen a lot of that is the LCO chain, where we've had fish going from LCO into whitefish, LCO into grindstone. We've had fish coming down from Sand Lake and winding up in whitefish, and we've even had fish go from Sand Lake through whitefish into LCO. And what that tells me as a biologist is you can't treat these populations as just a fixed single water body. You got to treat them like a chain, and you got to have an understanding of how the fish are coming in and out.
You know, it makes sense when you talk about muskies moving around more because they if I'm correct, they are a river fish to start with originally anyhow. So that would basically tell me that they'd be more adept to moving around.
We definitely know that, you know, muskies have a certain attraction to flow. They like spawning in areas that are in proximity to some flow. If there's a creek inlet or outlet, they like spawning there. We know that they're really inclined to go over dams, especially in the spring. That's some research that's been done in Illinois and in Iowa. So they have that river association. Some of them are pretty happy in lakes and will stay right where they're at, but some of them, they find that flow and they want to explore it, apparently.
Well, you're reading these things, you've got these readers, and you've got not just you guys when you recapture them in nets and stuff, but you've got a number of guides and other people out across the area that are actually helping contribute that data too, right?
Yeah, and that's been a really fun thing. It's a good way to get the community involved, a good way to kind of keep in touch with our guides, and I learn a lot from them, and I hope they're learning from us being a part of this project, but we've generated a lot of recaptures that way. Mike Person with the Muskie Club has been really big in kind of helping coordinate that and bring people into the program. Some of the guides that have been really active with it would be Steve Jensen and Pete Rich. They're probably, you know, right up there every year as far as getting the most recaptures. And what we've done now is those three guys I just mentioned, after a number of years of doing a good job scanning their fish and turning in data, is we actually have them putting their own tags out there now too. And what's been really interesting for me is they capture more tiger muskies than we do. It's easier to capture tiger muskies angling than it is in nets because
that's different.
They don't behave like a normal muskie. They don't come in and spawn the same way where we catch all our pure muskies. So Steve in particular, he's gotten a lot of tagging data on tiger muskies. Jeff Evans is another one we just brought into the program this year. He's gotten some recapture data on tigers. So not really something we set out to learn about, but we're really excited about, you know, the possibilities of finding out more about our hybrid tigers in the area.
Well, these guys actually are putting tags on pit tags in the fish out there?
Yep. We have them under a permit, and they're trained in to do that. So they've each got about 100 tags, and if they have a good season, hopefully they'll put out a lot of those tags and kind of help us get more out there in interesting places.
Well, you know, and the more data that you can gather, whether it's for muskies or walleyes or anything else, because, you know, the one thing that sometimes people don't understand is that it's got to be very difficult to manage a fishery when you can't physically lay your eyes on it. You're using a lot of data and trying to, sometimes at a best guess even, as to what's going on, I think, because it's hard to make an actual hard count. Like if you have so many trees in the woods, you can walk out and count them, but you can't do that with fish.
That's right, and that's why I always give the foresters here in my building a hard time, because their job's easy. The things they're looking for, they don't get up and walk away on them or swim away like wildlife and fisheries. But yeah, you're right. You know, it's all about information. And the thing is, I could go out and tag some fish and maybe we get a couple of them back. Maybe I got two recaptures. What do I do with that? You know, that's not a lot of data to be making decisions. So it's kind of, you have to get to a critical mass. You have to have a certain amount of data where you can be really confident that, okay, this is what's really going on. We've seen this 10, 15, 20 times now, so we know. It's all about having a good sample size, and our getting more guides out there and more anglers scanning these fish helps us get towards that sample size that we need to make good decisions.
If anybody's been interested in that, how do they find out information on it or anything?
Oh, we've run a lot of it through Muskies Inc. So if you're big on muskie fishing, you know, I definitely encourage you to check out our local chapter here. And that's kind of been the hub for this type of program, but you can get in touch with me directly too. So,
well, Max, I want to thank you as usual for coming on here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Well, it's real interesting listening to him talk about that. We need to take another break right now and hear from more of our fine sponsors. And when we return, we'll have another interview with one of the local Hayward area fishing guides and a lot more on your outdoors.
Check out OC Outfitters for all your fishing, hunting, and camping needs this year. They're ready to get you out on the lake with everything from rods and reels to licenses and live bait. Come see their Columbia clothing for men, women, and children. They have a full line of shirts, rain gear, shorts, and jackets, and they have new rifles, shotguns, and handguns to choose from. New this season, a propane filling station. That's OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open 7 days a week. Phone 715-634-1044.
The most common bills you can't prepare for are vehicle repairs and medical expenses. Quick Check in Hayward is here to help when you're a little short. Get the cash you need today when the unexpected happens between paydays. Keep your utilities on. Avoid late fees and overdraft charges. When there's too much month at the end of your money, Quick Check is the safe, secure, and easy way to get you the emergency funds you need. Quick Check, next to Hayward Bait and Tackle. 715-634-9753.
Pet owners, if there's a word better than inexpensive, it's free. Hayward Animal Hospital has always offered a free wellness exam with the vaccination of your pet. Your cat or dog will be given the highest quality and most comprehensive vaccines available to ensure continued protection against a variety of diseases with no hidden exam fees. The next time your pet needs vaccinations, consider a free wellness exam and Dr. Ostrander's over 30 years of experience. Hayward Animal Hospital is located on Highway B. Call 715-634-8971.
Are you in need of marine service? If so, call Earl's Marine, located on County K between the Big Lakes. Earl's Marine is a local Johnson Avenue authorized sales and service representative. Need a boat lift? Earl's Marine handles shore station. Need a boat or a pontoon for a few days? Just call for rental information. Since 1966, Earl's Marine has provided outstanding marine service to this area. For outstanding service, open 7 days a week for sales with a mechanic on duty Monday through Friday. Call Earl's Marine today at 715-634-4783.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. And myself, John Mayrie, and co-host Art Malin. And Art, you know, we mentioned earlier in the show that it seems to be a lot of deer around. And I had a chance to talk to Hayward area guide Tim Duffy and about kind of what he thinks the forecast is going to be for deer season this year.
I personally bet that the deer kill is going to be up this year.
You bet. Let's hear what Tim had to say, and we'll come back with a wrap-up on the show.
Well, Tim, you know, we're getting in the fall here, and hunting seasons are open, I know, and we just sometimes, what do you fish? Do you hunt? What do you do? There's lots of things to do, but what do you think this could be like this year for deer season?
I think it's going to be really good deer hunting. You know, the best times to get a nice buck is actually the opening of the deer season and then the later part of the season and the rut. So I'm seeing a lot of bucks right now. They're out there eating the greenery and stuff like that. A lot of the fields have been cut and green shoots and stuff are coming up and they're feeding on that. You got a ton of acorns. And, you know, that's another key is they all love acorns, bears, deer. Turkeys, they all love that. So if you got a place we can hunt the acorns, I think the biggest thing for me deciding if I'm going to go fishing or hunting is I look at the conditions. If it's going to be a hot day, I'm thinking of if I shoot a deer, how to get it processed so that you don't have trouble, you know, with the warm temperatures.
Well, you know, and you mentioned acorns and food. Food is one of the key elements when it comes to fishing or hunting. What are they eating? What are they feeding on? And you always want to be close to that to kind of find what you're after.
That's true. I mean, food. I mean, they and I think for a lot of guys, you know, if they're hunting other sources where they don't have the acorns, the deer actually will migrate to those areas where they have the acorns. So it's nice if you got a place where you got acorns and all the other foods with it, you know, the grasses and things like that. When it's warm, they seem to like the grasses, and once it gets colder, then they start, the acorns, they'll eat those early too, but when it gets colder, they start eating things like corn and more acorns and things like that.
Well, early in the year like this, where you concentrate more on the food things, when you get toward the rut, it's a little bit different.
I think so. Right now I would concentrate on where I'm seeing the bucks at if I want to get a buck. During the rut, I concentrate on where I see the does at, and I want the big pop, you know, concentration of the does, because no matter where the bucks are, they're going to seek those does out, and a lot of times the two live in kind of different areas. Early it's just it's the food and the bucks are in their bachelor groups, find spots where they're at. And I'll still have the does, but when the rut's going on, I want to go where I have a good concentration of a lot of does. And then the bucks will, because they're splitting up, they'll find those does, and that's when you want to hunt that way.
Things change a lot as we get into the hunting season for the deer, through the pre-rut, the rut, and then post-rut, and maybe a second rut.
Yeah, who knows, with the way the climate is going, it's just hard to tell. But and the other thing is you can't spending time out in the woods and watching. I mean, I'm watching all the time with my binoculars and checking things out and seeing where they're at, what they're eating. And you got to put your time in doing that. Hopefully you got your stands in and a number of different stand locations so you can move around a little bit. And hopefully that you've shot your bow and had that all dialed in.
Well, Tim, you want to give out your guide information? Anybody looking for a fishing guide for the fall?
Yeah, people can get a hold of me at 715-634-5100.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Well, you know, it was real interesting, and on that, talking about a lot of different things. You know, as far as but one of the things I want to talk about is, you know, crossbows now. Just about everybody's shooting a crossbow now, it seems like.
Yeah, it's just like Steve said earlier. A guy had his blow up. Now,
well,
how does it
usually,
blow up?
Usually, most of the time, a lot of times that's error on the part of the guy using it sometimes. But they do store a lot of energy, so you got to, with any crossbow, you got to make sure that you take proper care of the thing, that you load it right, make sure that your arrow goes in properly, because if you get it off, one feather off, that could cause the bow to blow up, because it would jump the arrow, the string would, and if you dry fire it, a lot of them have dry fire, anti-dry fire devices on them now, most of them do, but they still sometimes manage to go off if you pull the trigger, and you never ever want to dry fire a crossbow.
In the last probably 5 years, the increase in crossbows has been fantastic, and the design of the crossbow has changed significantly.
Oh, you bet. Everything just keeps getting better and faster and bigger. I mean, Crossman, who owns Centerpoint just sent me a new crossbow to try. I'm going to buy it from him because it's a fantastic crossbow. They call it the Sniper, and it's in that $300 range price-wise. But it's an incredible piece of equipment. It's got machined aluminum rails on it, which most of the cheaper crossbows have molded plastic rails that the arrow travels down the rail. It's just a very fast shooting bow. It shoots 370 feet a second, and it's a very nice bow for that kind of money. But then you can go all the way up to a couple $1,000s on crossbows, too.
I guess it's no different than it is with guns.
No, but everything does the same job, it seems like.
Exactly. That's what you want to see, too.
You
similarity.
Bet. You know, and another thing we talk about, you got something you want to talk about here too, right?
Well, you know, we talk about a lot of things on this show, not only just fishing and hunting. Here's a few words about turtles. I never knew that we have 11 species of turtles in this state. Two are soft shell, one's mud musk, one is a snapper, and semi-aquatic marsh, seven. A couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine was out on his driveway, and he saw this fox digging on the side of his driveway. And he said, what the hell is that fox digging on the side of the driveway for? Well, it came up with a snapper, a little baby snapper. That's what he was digging for. Well, what they have there with the turtles that are wood turtles are endangered because they're just so few, and they just don't develop very well. So what's happening, the DNR and the University of Wisconsin are going to put 20 turtles with a transmitter and an antenna on their back. Now, this turtle is only about as big as a silver dollar, and they're going to keep watching this turtle and see what they do in the fall. And then they'll bring them back in, and then this spring they'll put them out again. Most of this work is going to be done near Rhinelander on the two rivers in that area, the Wisconsin River is one, and the other river is, I think, Sugar River. But whatever it is, that's where the project's going to take place. And now, if your kids are interested in kind of following what's going on, they can contact the DNR, Wisconsin Turtle Conservation Program. Kind of interesting, John, because it takes 14 to 18 years for a wood turtle to become sexually mature.
Wow, you know, and another thing on crossbows I want to mention too that I forgot to mention is that, you know, just because you could hit a target at 50 or 60 yards doesn't mean you should try to take a deer at 50 or 60. I saw something that was kind of amazing. I was watching at YouTube, guys shooting at 50 yards and 60 yards, and from the time you hear the bow go off until you hear the target impact, that you could actually count time between it. And if you pull a trigger on a deer at that range and the deer decides to take a step forward, you're not going to hit it where you want to hit it.
That's why you want to have them the closer the better.
Yeah, we're about out of time for this week. I want to remind folks that if you miss a show, you can always get that show on our website. From WNORadio.net is the website. And from there, you can link to the podcast site or to YouTube. And we'll put it up on there. There's also some kind of cool videos that we put up from time to time. But we're out of time for this week.
Time to do a lot. Very little time left.
You bet. We'll see you again next week, folks.
Listen with me. I'm going to take you there to our Wisconsin Outdoors. Our Wisconsin Outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.